This is Camp Hacker. Come find our show notes and our blog for camp directors and leaders at camphacker.tv.
Good day and welcome to our podcast. This is Camp Hacker, episode 99, recorded on the 29th of March, 2017. On today's show, working well with camper parents. If you would like easy, automatic, free updates of our podcast, you can subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or most other places you get your favorite podcasts. This week's Camp Hacker podcast is sponsored by GoCamp Pro. GoCamp Pro is a year-round online conference for the true summer camp mavericks, the camp pros who can't stand it when people say, "But that's not how we do it around here." GoCamp Pro is a community of year-round summer camp professionals, people who empower each other to make the big changes that camp needs so that our campers and staff will go and change the world. Make sure you sign up for the GoCamp Pro newsletter at zoic.ca/GCP-news. That's zoic.ca/GCP-news. And this week's Camp Hacker podcast is sponsored in part by camp pros like you who support the show on Patreon. If you've got even one good idea from the Camp Hacker podcast, you can show your support for the show for as little as $1 per episode. We've got some great rewards too, just like a Kickstarter campaign. Please go to patreon.com/camphacker. We hope you enjoy the Camp Hacker show.
Hello, Camp Pros, and welcome to the Camp Hacker podcast. My name is Travis Allison. I run a blog about running a great summer camp at camphacker.tv, and I'm also one of the founding members of GoCamp.pro.
And my name is Gabrielle Rail. I'm one of the camp directors at Camp Oro. Camp Oro is an all-girls camp in the Laurentian Mountains in Quebec.
I'm Corey Harrison. I'm the executive director of YMCA Camp Greenville, and we're a YMCA camp that sits on top of a mountain in Greenville, South Carolina.
And I'm Stacey Simpson. I am a consultant and trainer for camps and all different types of nonprofits as well.
Awesome. Welcome, Stacey. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
And Corey, welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be back.
I was trying to figure out in my head just now if this is show number 3 or 4 that you've been on, maybe even 5.
Anyway. No, I think it's probably the lower end of that.
Yeah.
Which means I need to come back more.
It does. It absolutely does. So I'm grateful to have you both here. Our topic today comes from Corey and Stacey, and we're going to get to that in just a second. But Stacey, how did you get started in camp?
So I grew up in the Girl Scout program. I started as a Daisy in kindergarten, and that's what a lot of my career has been in actually as well. And grew up through that program through a troop where my mom was my troop leader, and started going to camp actually as a program aide. So like a CIT, a lot of camps will call it. So didn't really get into camp until I was in late middle school, high school, and stuck with it from there.
That's awesome. And are you still with a Girl Scout camp now?
Yeah, sort of. So I worked professionally with Girl Scout councils for 10 years and then made a move about a year ago into independent consulting. So now I work primarily with camps. I work with Girl Scouts of Northern Illinois right now and directly with their outdoor program manager and figuring out where we're going with the camp program there from a strategic perspective and then sort of dabbling in things all over the place.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it's great to have you here for the first time, Stacey.
Thank you.
So today we're going to revisit a topic we talked about a while ago, but definitely time for a review. And Stacey and Corey talked to me about this at ACA National this year. We're recording this in March of 2017. And definitely the two of them have been really thoughtful about their approach to this topic, which is how we as summer camp professionals deal with parents and what our relationship is like with them, our attitudes towards them, how we can get our staff to have great attitudes towards parents and to really, in parents' minds, become a partner in developing their kids in lots of ways. So I wonder, either of you can take this. I wonder, Stacey and Corey, what was the impetus for this? Where did this idea come from?
Well, I'll say for me, something happened a couple of years ago while I was the director at YMCA Camp Benson in Northwest Illinois. We had kind of the camping icon, Gary Forrester, out doing some staff training type stuff. And he did this thing where he stood up in front of the room and he said to our staff, He screamed kind of loudly to rally up some excitement. Who do we work for in this? And my staff all yell out, the kids. And he goes, and what are we trying to do? And they said, have fun. And his answer to them was wrong on both accounts. And he said, the thing to remember is that you work for moms, not necessarily kids. And it was like at that time, this kind of eye-opening moment where I began to realize everything we were doing in marketing, everything we were doing in communication was about a 7, 8, 9-year-old child. And what Gary really helped me start, took me on a journey towards is that idea that really as camp directors, we work for parents and sometimes even more specifically, at least in the case of my camp right now, 95% of the registrations come from moms. So that's kind of what got me stirring about the idea of how do we communicate and how do we work with parents and what are our attitudes towards parents?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say that the origin of this for me is different, actually. And then it came up in conversation between the two of us. So from my perspective, I don't have kids of my own. I'm not a parent, but I married a parent who is also a camp director. So maybe we should disclose now that Corey and I are married. We didn't cover that in the introduction. So it was interesting for me in our relationship, and he doesn't know that I'm sharing this, so I apologize if it's too personal. But as we were getting to know each other, and I got to see Corey with his camp director hat on, and I got to see him with his parent hat on. And in some cases, those two roles were somewhat in contradiction to each other. And so I started noticing these little moments where he would say something that sounded more like how I think camp directors talk. And sometimes he would say things that sound more like how parents talk. And I realized that there's a disconnect there and that we as camp directors can really be doing more to meet parents where they're at and to genuinely understand their needs and desires that they need for themselves and that they need for their kids and be taking a step toward them and doing more to serve them in their role as the parent.
Right. That's
and I was never apologetic about that contradiction. There were so many times where I know as a camp director, I would say to parents, you just got to let your kids go. They'll be fine. Trust us. But when my 8-year-old was at camp, and even though it was my own camp with the staff I hired myself, I was still checking in at night, still peeking in the cabin, still checking with the counselors. And I would say, I don't care. I understand it's a walking contradiction, but this is my child and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And it's funny too, Stacey, that shift in perspective, because the same thing happened to me when I started camp directing year round on my own, and then I brought in an old camp friend. That's the wrong way to word it. A long term camp friend to be a co-director with me, and she had kids, and so I learned. Even though I was camp director pretty young, I learned a parent's perspective only once I co-directed with someone who had kids. It opened up my brain for some more possibilities. And I think as that co-director, eventually we dated and married, and those kids became my stepkids, I think my perspective kept changing all that. But I think a lot of... well, I'm not going to put words in anybody's mouth. Gab, I wonder at Woro what the conversation is like around staff and their relationship with parents.
I think our number one goal when we're talking about on the service end, when we're talking about our clients, is that our clients feel like we've thought of everything. So there's never this like, oh, you know, my child doesn't have a raincoat. Oh, no worries. We have that taken care of. But it really starts with the expectations at the very beginning. It starts with that phone call when they call camp or how we reach out to them. All first year families get what we call a staggered email. So it's 5 different newsletters that describe parts of camp so that they have an understanding of what camp is, and it gives them tools to talk to their kids about. Yeah. But really when it comes to our staff and talking to families, it's really about validating feelings. I like what Corey said about, you know, it's mom's our client. And anxiety is a very natural and caring way of experiencing letting your child go. And so the number one thing that we tell our staff is to basically validate their feelings. That sounds actually upsetting. I'm sorry you feel this way. Is there anything that would you like to talk about so that I can understand your child better? And really, really try to make sure that there is no don't worry in the conversation, because that doesn't make anybody feel better. It's like telling somebody to calm down. It just seems to, for some reason, not really work very well. So validating feelings is extremely important. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, but making sure that staff members have, everybody has a notebook on opening day. And no matter what, you write down any questions, even if you're answering the questions of parents, you write them down. And just parents seeing that you're taking note of, you know, physically, you know, puts them at ease. But we really want them to feel like we've thought of everything. And if we haven't, then we'll address it.
Right.
I like that you kind of talk about a couple of those tools and steps that you've put in place for your staff. And I think what I like about this particular topic is that even taking it one step further back, it really boils down to the attitude before you ever even approach the opportunity to meet a parent. And I think what the conversations that got Stacy and I kind of riled up was how often we were going to camp conferences and hanging out with our camp friends and hearing the term helicopter parent used in a derogatory way. I mean, it was almost like how so many people use the word millennials in a way that
scorn.
They're so irritating.
Irritating.
And so when we started talking about and hearing people use this term helicopter parents or overprotective parents or talk about how it was their camp, how like one example I heard was a camp tell me they stopped letting their kids get mail from parents because parents need to learn to separate from their kids. And, you know, it just, for me, I don't want to speak for Stacy, but it just made me cringe a little bit, realizing that maybe we're approaching it with these parents with the wrong attitude.
Right.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, I went with Corey to drop his oldest son off at college and move him into the dorms. And I had this realization as we were having these conversations that taking your kid to camp, especially for the first time, is a lot like taking them to their college dorm room. And no parent is ever ready for that because that's the day that they are on their own and they have left the comfort and safety of your care and your home. And going to camp is like a mini version of that. And it's catastrophic for some parents. And that's not to be taken lightly by any means.
And it's like a mini version of dropping them off at college because the time period isn't as long, but the children are so much younger that that's such a big part of the empathy that we have to show is that what a hard thing they do. We used to do this is an exercise I got from Beth and done it a number of times, and I've done a couple of different. The session's called Partnering with Parents at Conferences. And we used to do a very simple exercise where you do stuff in pairs or threes or fours and take a poster-sized piece of paper and just draw a kid and name them and what's their favorite toy and who's their favorite teacher, favorite subject, etc. And then they have fun doing this little creative exercise. And then I say, okay, crumple those up and we'll put them in the fireplace. We'll start the fire with them tonight. And the whole staff just goes, and I'm like, you have invented this child for 5 minutes. We're talking about taking people's kids that they've had for 7, 8, 9, 10 years that are their biological progeny. And, you know, you're that flagrant just throwawayness of a piece of paper. You reacted that way. Imagine what it's like.
It's absolutely important to, first point is to create an experience for staff members to really connect with the fact that they're taking care of children. They understand they're taking care of campers, but taking care of children. And one of my favorite activities is having staff members bring something that's really, really, really precious to them. and, you know, they do a nice little walkabout with somebody else and they talk about that item, and it might be a necklace that their grandmother gave them or a photo of a loved one. And, you know, they do a little walk around, and then afterwards I ask, you know, all right, if you feel comfortable, please swap items with the person that you, explained this item to. And there's a similar reaction, like, oh, I don't know if I can. And some people are like, okay, but please really take care of this. And then we talk about what does a parent feel when they're dropping off their child? Is it equal to what you're feeling? Is it more intense? And so what are the things that make us nervous, and what are the things that reassure us? And so I think really to help parents feel comfortable, we need to help staff understand the responsibility that they have. At the same time, we have to allow staff to feel that we have their backs and we're going to support them through that responsibility.
Yeah.
But definitely giving them those tools. And first day of meeting parents can be so nerve-wracking for staff members, and coming up with a system that helps them, like pairing them with a returning staff member. I like giving stickers to staff members that have that say, ask me about ... and then they put underneath the first time I met my best friend or when I tipped out of a canoe.
Yeah.
And it's sort of these chatting conversations. It always revolves around camp. It's usually a funny story or a sentimental story, but it allows for a conversation piece, you know, as they're walking their child to the cabin or if they're meeting them the first day at a day camp. There's, you know, allowing for these conversations to happen that builds trust, you know, between staff and parents.
Right. Even just being so intentional as to giving your staff, I mean, some camps that listen to this, their staff will start at 16 years old. Most would say, I would say they'd start at college age, but sometimes it's younger. Giving them that name tag allows them to start conversation, basically giving them some sort of social script, allows them to present as a human being to parents if they're meeting those parents directly, or to establish a relationship with the kid, which of course is really important. But it allows to cross barriers and begin conversations, and conversations, I think, help with a lot of stress, but also basic understanding of the other person's perspective.
Yeah. And I think there, and I'm glad we're kind of talking about some of those tips and tools, because I think that's probably what people kind of joining in here want to get. And for me, one of the things that had to happen first was I had to get beyond just the thought process that I'm doing everything I need to help parents. Well, I have a frequently asked question section on our website, or also I showed you photos and of all of our counselors, and we're sending you lots of photos during the week, and we did do that open house, so that should be enough, right? And sometimes that's just not enough. And so we have begun to strategize and look at ways, how do we take it even to the next level for parents? So the first part was admitting that what we're doing right now might have worked 10 years ago, but it isn't sufficient necessarily for today's parents.
Right.
And I think that camp directors need to be really self-reflective on this. And it's okay to say we're not good enough and we need to be doing more. And it's great to have someone that can kind of call you out on that too, because even in preparation for this conversation, I had made a list of, here are some of the things, you know, trying to remember the things we've been talking about in terms of what camps can be doing better. And I said, videos, all the videos, every camp needs all of the videos. Yep. Corey said, yeah, we're on it with the videos. And I said, no, you're not. You need more. You still need more. Even though you have more on the list coming up, you still need more. There's no end point where it's enough, basically.
Yeah. Well, videos being the easiest, most popular form of consumable media, great strategy. I think that in general, we just have to be willing to communicate more. Even if, you know, if you've been a camp director for 10 years and you find that parents have changed, agreed. That you have to change too.
Right.
Absolutely. Like
your staff has changed. Staff's expectations have changed in the past 10 years, and you have little choice but to change too. And with acceptance of that, comes a lot less stress, or, you know, it's less antagonistic, the relationship, when you're willing to communicate to death.
What's great about the parents that we have coming to camp right now is we've begun to move into a lot of our parents being millennials.
Yep.
One of the great things about millennials is they consume things in small chunks. Like, we're okay with 10-second Snapchat videos. Mm-hmm. So there was a day that if you wanted to put together a camp video, it needed to be 22 minutes long, and you had to take it into somebody's living room back in the day.
Yeah.
And you'd have to put it in the VCR. And you can just write us a note if you don't know what the VCR is. We'll comment. And now today, one of the things that we just did in the last couple of weeks at Camp Greenville is we just bought Snapchat spectacles. So the Snapchat glasses with video cameras in them, and we're passing them around to staff, yeah, random staff throughout the day, so that we're getting constant different 10-second, 20- and 30-second videos of our kids ziplining or horseback riding and things where parents can follow the Camp Greenville Snapchat and engage. It doesn't need to be lengthy, and it doesn't need to be edited. And sometimes the more editing that goes into it, the actually less authentic the moment feels.
Yeah.
I think a lot of camp directors get nervous about their value system and the goal of their camp. And if you're a camp that's unplugged, or one of it is about, or perhaps it's about building independence, et cetera, that's where the resistance of change is. And I think that what's helpful is to be creative while you're fitting within your value system, but then also really expressing to your families that come to your camp, not trying to convince them to come to your camp, but just saying, is this the right camp for you? So if they want, you know, consistent feedback throughout their stay, which is totally fine, and your camp doesn't do that, what are you doing to first make parents trust you, follow your values, but not try to convince families to come to your organization, and be very, very transparent about when you're going to contact them, what it's going to be about, and, you know, just sort of really, really clear about what the relationship is between director and parents.
Yeah.
And once you do that, especially with first-time parents, once you do it, and then, as you said, Gabs, they trust you, you'll find they're not asking to talk to their child anymore. They're not asking to, why is my child only in 9 pictures out of 100, or, you know, things like that. They will begin to trust, but we have to build that foundation of trust first. It's why, when they don't have that, it's why parents are sneaking cell phones into their kids' bags, right? So their kid, you know, you're in the check-in line at camp, and you say, do you have any cell phones? And the parent hands you the child's flip phone, and you're like, now listen, I know your child is not using a flip phone. There's an iPhone shoved in a bag somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? And so they do that. The parents are engaged in that kind of deception. Camp directors haven't always found the way to over communicate the information to them, to answer all of those questions. And I think once you do that, you'll find that there's more trust built with the parents, and that leads to less deception happening like that, and less of that constant phone calls, constant emails, can you check on my child, can you check on my child stuff.
Yeah. One thing that, you know, camps have been around for a while, let's say, you know, 7 to 10 years or more, have not changed the communication between sign up and arrival. And it's always been a bee in my bonnet that we basically go to town to court people to get them to sign up for camp. And then we thank them for their money. And then the week before they arrive, we send them a packing list. It's like that whole space, yeah, in between signing up and arrival, you have to continue to build trust. And that allows you, if you're doing this and just communicate, answer questions, be available, build relationships, all of the things that camp people are good at between sign up and the day the kid comes to camp, then you can educate people. Like Gab just said, and Corey reinforced, you educate, these are our values. We're not a camp where kids have their cell phones all the time and can communicate all the time. But we're like, you know that before your kid arrives, you can get comfortable with us, get comfortable with our staff, et cetera, et cetera. And make that work because you've already over communicated. One of Corey's camp neighbors Green River Preserve in North Carolina has had a ton of success with having what they call new parents meetings. And it was started by Ruby Compton, who's on the Campcoon podcast with Gab. Ruby would do a free, open, online, she did it with Google Hangouts, just a video conversation like we're doing. And she would have a small presentation and then take any parent questions. And that small presentation would be on one small topic, one fear that parents have about sending their kids, etc. And because the Green River has been good about metrics for a long period of time, they were able to trace those video conversations with parents and having those available, a whole library of answered questions for parents, they're able to trace an 80% reduction in homesickness at camp because of that program. And, you know, just working through with parents, all the stuff that we've mentioned, here's how to talk to your kids about camp. Here's what to say the week before. Here's what to say the night before. Here's, you know, helping them, have them help you pack their stuff, or so that the kids aren't know what's coming, et cetera. There's lots of different things they do, but it was really interesting to me that they had enough measurement to say that they could reduce homesickness by 80% just by that level of communication. Stacey, were there other stuff that the two of you have been thinking about? I think we're all on the same page in terms of we need to have a better attitude about parents. But what other sort of things were you thinking about, or had you two discussed about how to get our staff better at, how to get ourselves better at it and get our staff ready for a better relationship with them?
Yeah, so I think a lot of what we've been talking about is how to take this just one step further. So I think the biggest thing is for camp directors and camp staff to first evaluate, where are we at right now? What are our attitudes towards parents, and how can we take that one step more positive and one step toward where those parents are at? And then I think that the same concept is, I'm all about starting where you're at. So the same concept is true when we look at our staff. So even just maybe it's not handled any differently in staff training this year, but maybe it's in the first couple weeks during that check-in time. We work with weekly camps mostly. So that as a camp director, you're really observing, or you're sending someone from your admin team to observe how your counselors are currently interacting with parents, and just having that intentional eye to see, where are we at right now? And what do those interactions look like? Which counselors are really stars at this naturally because they've had some other experience in their life, or because they've experienced it here at camp enough to learn the tricks, and which ones might need some more coaching, and really look at that and evaluate first where you're at, I think, would be what I would do in my style. Corey's style is a little bit more to just take it and run with it. So I know that he's been working with his full-time year-round staff, that they've been working already on adding more emails to their list, as you were talking about, Travis, adding more videos in the pre-camp time, and then and training staff more on the interactions in some of the ways that you and Gab were describing. So I would recommend, though, kind of that evaluation period, and then of course checking in on it as well.
Yeah,
and I would say we've done, after kind of moving past some of the evaluation process, which, as Stacey said, is pretty short for me. I just go, yeah, this doesn't feel right, or it's not enough. So we've started looking at what are the little touches, and I'm big on it. With parents, it doesn't need to be a production. It doesn't need to be huge. So we've started implementing a number of little things to really help our parents feel as comfortable and so that we can be as trustworthy as possible to the parents. So it starts with a lot of those. We email literally on a weekly or twice a week basis. And often it's just a link to a video that a parent might find interesting about camp. And so we have some things that maybe are unique to our camp, like most camps do. A lot of parents fear that their child is not going to be in on the inside joke, or what is pajama jam, or what is square dance, and what's expected. So we want to make sure that camp parents have all that information. So we're constantly communicating that out. And we also took camp on some road shows to some popular cities where our campers come from. And we held these like come, we brought pizza and drinks and just come hang out with us and ask us anything you want to know. So we took Camp Greenville on the road to Atlanta and Columbia, Greenville, and different places like that. So there's all that pre stuff that we've evaluated, but even on a daily basis during that check-in process, we've now required every one of our staff members to have a LinkedIn profile.
Right.
And they hand kind of this one-page paper of their LinkedIn profile to every parent who drops a child off at their cabin. So we're basically know our parents are going to hunt down our counselors.
Yep.
They're going to Google them. They're going to go searching. We actually want to direct that search to their business professional page versus parents Googling, finding an open Facebook, finding the pictures from that one party in college and things yeah. like that. So, you know, it's all about those little touches. We've added new parent meetings during the check-in process. So at each half hour block of check-in, you can just gather together with the summer camp director and just ask any extra questions that you had that you didn't want to ask during checkout or maybe forgot to ask after you've dropped your child off. And it's just for parents. And we're an hour drive, as you know, Travis, up a mountain. And so we've even, Stacy and I have even chatted a little bit about the idea of placing a staff member at this little ice cream shop that's about 40 minutes away from camp on the way back to Greenville with just this parent with either a parent or a staff member there to say, hey, listen, as you're driving down and you're beginning to feel separation anxiety, stop at this ice cream shop. And we have a staff member there who would love just to kind of talk to you, help answer any additional questions, reassuring. So it's like Stacy said, it's about how do we go one step further with everything.
Right. Right.
And as we've brainstormed about that concept, that I call that the parent support stop, that it could be a staff member, as Corey mentioned, but ideally in my mind, it's an experienced camp parent who has been in that parent's shoes and can speak to their child's experience and their experience as a parent and really give support that has an extra layer of trust and credibility behind it, because it's not a staff member telling you what you want to hear. You know that it's another parent who has been in your shoes and can give you that feedback.
Yeah.
So I think that's a concept that we're still toying around with and seeing how Corey might be able to implement at that camp. And I would love to see other camps implement it too, because that first half an hour of that drive home is probably, I imagine, difficult for a lot of parents, especially first-time parents.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And then one other thing that we're doing that we do, Trevor, so I'm the first person a parent meets when they get out of their car up in the athletic field. I think a lot of camps do that.
Yes.
But the first thing I do, you know, shaking the hands of the camper and of the parent, is I hand the parent my business card that has my cell phone number on it.
Mm.
And I say, here's my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Throughout the week, if you have any questions, call me.
Yeah.
99% of parents never call.
Right.
But it's almost like there's a comfort in having that phone number in their pocket. They know they can if they need to. And I think that's been a huge thing. Just parents knowing that they can call has been helpful in comforting and dealing with that anxiety.
Right.
And I will say, I want to give Corey props, because that piece right there is the biggest thing that I learned from him when I was a camp director. So I was a camp director when we started dating, and on our first date, his phone was out on the table. It rang and he excused himself to take the call. Our first date.
Yeah.
And he came back to the table and sat down and he said, I'm sorry, I thought it might have been a camp parent. And that's the most important call that I can take.
Yeah.
And that right there was like, boom, my mind started exploding with these concepts even then, because not being a parent and being pretty early in my career as a camp director at that time, that was huge to me, just to hear someone feel so genuinely that truly is the most important phone call that you can take on your phone. Because a lot of times as camp directors, we're busy with 1,000 things happening at once. We all know that. That's obvious. So then the phone is ringing and the walkie-talkie is going and whatever. Yeah. And so to be able to stop the world to validate that parent's feelings and answer the questions that they have in that moment is huge.
Right. So, Gab, I've been watching you sketch down ideas. Is there stuff that's coming up for you based on some of the things you've heard?
Yeah. I mean, I always joke that these podcasts are just for me, because I feel like so many great ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like what Stacey was saying, bringing, you know, parents, their care to the next level. And I was thinking, you know, where would I like to start, mm-hmm. to do that? And I think one of the ways would be to, you know, contact, some first year and second year staff, parents and say, we want to bring our care to the next level. And I'd love to hear about your experience. And what did you appreciate and what was difficult for you? And genuinely open up sort of this sort of conversation. And I think that's a way of course, building relationships. But I think you'll probably get some really great ideas. And that just shows this group of parents that you really care. And just by word of mouth of them saying this organization wants to bring their game to the next level, especially for camps that are doing fairly well, to say that that's what you're doing. I find that to be really important that organizations don't rest on their, you know, success and say, you know, we can do better and we'd love to hear from you. So, you know, for me, all of these are amazing. I mean, the parent support stop is kind of, it's such a cool idea. And I was just thinking of what people I would have, but I love the idea of having returning families to be there to help host as one of those groups of people to say welcome, I think is wonderful.
Right. I know what it was. It's something that you've all said that reminds me of one thing that I work through with my clients. One of the things we do is work through follow-up surveys and you know, try to tune those so you can get the most information. But I definitely agree, and I push my clients to do this, that you can send out you know, do whatever incentives you need to get as much feedback as you can from parents, all of parents. But first-year parents should get a phone call. That there should be a conversation with first-year parents. All of the things that you said, Gab, one thing that I always stress to clients is that they should be asking, in what way did you feel unprepared when you dropped your child off? So what are the things that we could tune up? So how did you feel unprepared? What did you have questions about? You know, make a list for that, find patterns, find ways to answer all those things before they drop them off. But it needs to be those parents. And I also wouldn't wait till November to have that conversation. I would do it best if you could do it 3 days after the kid arrives or 2 days after the kid arrives. You can, you then have an opportunity to say, I saw your child at swimming today. They're having a ton of fun, made friends with Amy and Sammy. And I just wonder if I have a couple minutes to talk to you, just ask you a couple of questions. And a lot of camps won't have the personnel to cover all first-year parents, but most, if they prioritize, could figure out a way to talk to all first-year parents before the summer's over and get that when it's fresh in their minds and give them the ability to tune stuff up. We are so involved in the camp world, we think that we explain stuff well enough. And, you know, because we're at 100% of the available information about our camp. And, you know, we think if people have 40% of the information, they'll buy from us. But in reality, what we're really what we're putting out to other people is probably only 10% of the information. And you can, of course, overwhelm people. You've all described a process of informing them gradually. And... And that's before they buy and after they buy, just giving them little pieces of more information or reinforcing old information. You know, same as a new camp family, we get a series of emails. If there's a way to reinforce those when they sign back up the second time, you're not giving them exactly the same emails, but you can say, don't forget, we sent this last year, but if you want to have, you know, our questions, our answers to home loneliness, you know, packing, whatever it is, just reinforce those things because you want to be able